have many different denominations, many different backgrounds, ages of people all coming together to unify around the person of Jesus and his mission for us as believers. So that's what we get to do every day. I came to YWAM back in 2017 to do my own discipleship training school, fell in love with the Lord even more, did a couple other things after that and came back on staff, and I've been working with our training program since then, traveling the nations. I've been to like 13 in the past 5 years, and I can truly say there's nothing like following Jesus. He'll take you on adventures that you never thought you'd be on. You'll meet people, you'll do things you never thought you'd do, and it's way better than anything I thought I could imagine for my own life. So I'm very grateful to be with you guys, with these guys. We've, like I said, been here since January in Texas, going through the Bible, going through different teachings on how to love the Lord. And then, what was it? The beginning of April, we began traveling. They spent 2 weeks in Houston, Texas, doing some ministry down there in kind of our own backyard, per se. And then on April 17th, we flew to Europe, made it to Norway, to Kristiansand, spent some time doing ministry there. And last Saturday, we got here to Stockholm, and unfortunately, we have to leave tomorrow to head out to Oslo, but we've truly enjoyed our time here. We love your city. We love Brandon and Angela and the people of this community, so thank you so much for having us and giving us an opportunity today. So before we get started, I just want to pray. Is that okay? Okay. Well, Jesus, we love you. God, thank you for an opportunity once again to gather together openly to declare your name, God, to worship you, to come together and to receive from you. I never want to take it lightly that we have the freedom to express our worship, to gather. We ask, God, as we look at your word, as we talk, as we discuss the things that are on your heart today, that you would open up the eyes of our heart, you would open up our ears to understand and see you as you are. God, to accept the promises and the commission that you've made over each of our lives and to grab hold of it and to walk in authority that you've given to each one of us as believers. God, would you activate us today to see you, to love you, and to reach out beyond even what is comfortable, what is normal, for the sake of knowing you and loving you and inviting others to that place again. So would you speak through me this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who likes Mexican food?
Yes!
Anyone? I love Mexican food. Whenever I get to travel, one of my favorite things is getting to try all of the local dishes. We had some last night. I can't remember how to pronounce it, but Swedish stroganoff, it was amazing. Angela is a great cook. But one of my favorite foods, too, is Mexican food. And in Tyler, we have this restaurant called Torchy's. It's my favorite restaurant there. It's tacos, but they're not traditional tacos. They're very unique combinations and flavors. And every month, there's a new taco of the month that you get. They hook you back in to try it and to keep coming back. And I just love it. And they have this amazing queso. You won't get any other queso like this place called Torchy's. And so me and my friends often go there on Friday nights or any night that we can that we're free during the week to just eat and enjoy and to spend time together. And last November, I was sitting at Torchy's and I see these signs, golden ticket, free queso for a year. And I was like, ooh. Free queso for a year. How do I get that? It was literally everywhere. They were getting ready for Christmas, so they had wreaths that said free queso, and really just trying to get you to ask about this golden ticket. And so, being a queso lover like I am, I went up to the counter and I asked, can someone tell me about this free queso? And they said, if you buy $200 worth of gift cards, you get an all-access pass to free queso for all of 2023. Every single day, you can come in and get free queso. I was like, that sounds pretty good to me. I was doing some math in my head. If I were to buy queso every single day, it would be like $3,000 or something like that. And this would only cost me $200. And so my friends and I were talking, and we were thinking we could just go in 33 and buy this gift card, and we could have free queso. A couple weeks went by, we hadn't bought it yet, and someone actually ended up buying those gift cards for us. So not only are we getting free queso, but we're getting free tacos as well. It's been amazing. That's probably the food I miss the most about America, so we'll have it soon after I get back. But the thing about the golden ticket is it's only one printed off thing. They said, you can't take a picture of it on your phone, you can't make a copy of it and distribute it to your friends, you have to come with the ticket, get something else, and you'll get the free queso. Simple enough, right? Sometimes I'm driving around wanting something to eat while I'm out and about, and then I remember, oh yes, I got free queso. And I go and I cash it in and I use it. Even if I'm not hungry, I just sometimes I'll get it and take it home and eat it later. But I remember that I have this access through a ticket, through something that was purchased already for me. And I think sometimes it's the same way in Christianity, is we're driving around and we have this ticket in our pocket and we don't realize the power and the access and the availability that we have already with us. Now, this ticket costs $200. It's about 6% or so of what it would be if I would do the math throughout the year. But the price that Jesus paid for us is a lot more than 6%, right? Even in my yes to him, it does nothing. It doesn't even compare close to that percentage that he's given to me. And if I'm going out as a believer and I'm just navigating my life wondering, do I have access? What does it mean to be a Christian? And I forget that I have this ticket in my pocket, not just to heaven, but to the Lord and to the kingdom, then I'm going to miss so much of the life that he has for me. I think that's part of the problem that we miss in the church sometimes, is we think that this ticket isn't a ticket to life right now, but it's a ticket to heaven. It's a ticket to eternity someday far away when I die, whenever I die, sometime in the future. Sometimes people see the gospel as this imaginary line where we go up and down, doing good things, doing bad things, making mistakes, thinking thoughts, helping people, hurting people, and we fluctuate up and down. And I think a lot of believers, even people inside the church, think that they just have to keep their head floating above the line in order to one day have their ticket to heaven. Even us, sometimes in the church, we feel unworthy of the gift that we've received in the Lord. We've seen his presence, we've seen him heal, we've seen him bring freedom, but yet we struggle to believe that sometimes. We struggle to believe that all we have to do is glance at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're okay because of the sacrifice that he made. But too often, we're just bobbing up and down. We're bobbing, thinking that we just have to do enough, be good enough, strive, and then one day, boom, heaven. Brandon reminded us last week that our view of the Father is everything. How we see him, how we understand him, what we think about him will affect the way that you live. And it's so true. Whether we realize it or not, the beliefs that we have, the thoughts that we think, dictate the actions that we have. I loved what you shared last week, Brandon. It was so good. I think we need to talk about that more because we're not aware of even the beliefs that we have and how that influences the actions that we live. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Jesus wants to change the way that we think. It's not just changing our behavior, physically modifying, being a robot good person, but he changes us from the inside out. He gives us a new heart. He replaces the heart of stone with the heart of flesh so that we can see Jesus, we can be moved by compassion, and we can actually live the way that we were designed to live. Because we weren't designed to just go about our lives and then one day meet Jesus. We were designed to meet him right now, today, every day, here in the church, but especially outside of the church, everywhere that we go. But we miss that. I miss that, somehow. I grew up in the church, and I was clinging fast to the faith of my parents and to being a good person, but I missed Jesus in the whole process. And how many of you know, if you miss Jesus, your life's going to be pretty messed up. You can have everything that you want, that you think you want, money, success, family, reputation. I don't know what it is that you want, but me being in high school, I thought that I had it all. I had everything that I wanted. I had a good parent. I had a loving family with good parents. I got good grades. I played sports. I was all set up to be a physical therapist. That's what I thought I wanted for my future. But yet I was so empty inside. I would go home at night and I would just trap myself in my room and study and study and try to do better so that my future someday could be good. But my present reality was kind of a mess. The thing is, though, no one knew that except me. My parents probably, but I wasn't brave enough to actually talk about that with them. Actually, they did. They would try to spark up conversations, but I think as a young person, that's scary. As I get older, I realize it doesn't stop being scary to be vulnerable and to share and to let people in to those places in your heart that hurt when people press on them. Because it always feels vulnerable to be vulnerable, right? But there's a power that comes when we bring things into the light. It's almost like the lies and the things that we believe about ourselves are disarmed and lose their power. And that's because they do. It's as simple as that. You guys are very blessed to have a tight community of people where you know everyone, hopefully. You can look people in the eyes, you can have conversations, have small groups, you can fika, and you can actually push past the isolation that the world tries to push at us, that the enemy tries to push at us, that even cities, Stockholm, there's so many people, but yet we can feel so trapped and so alone when we shut down and just go to our room and think that we have it all together. More than a lot of other topics in the New Testament, Jesus talks about the kingdom. More than forgiveness, more than being born again, more than finances, Jesus is always wanting to share about the kingdom of God. Anybody recognize that? Actually, his first and his last messages circled around this topic. And so I want to dive into it a little bit today and remind you guys that you were created for more. You were created for more than just showing up and sitting in these chairs on a Sunday. You were created for more than cultural Christianity and being a good person and doing good things. You were created for more than just having nice stuff and being blessed because I'm a Christian. You were created for more than just going out and pretending that you don't know anything about Christianity when someone asks you because you're afraid of what they think or because only 0.6% of Stockholm is a believer. Let's change that. We weren't supposed to just hide. The Bible says that we are to be a city on a hill. A city that brings life and healing and freedom and justice. Those are all things that are characteristics of the kingdom of God. Yet somehow we let the cultural world shift these things to think, oh, they get to do those things. The politicians, the business people, the economics, the families, they get to decide. But really, God already decided. He already gave us the instructions for how to live. This isn't a book, this isn't just our ticket to heaven, but it's a manual on how we can live right now the eternal and the abundant life that God has for us. So if you could first put up John 17:3 for me. You guys can turn there if you have a Bible. I love the book of John so much. I love how John relates to Jesus and how he communicates from the place of intimacy that he has with him. Sometimes we get to know people through distant relationships. I can get to know some of you through Brandon, but it'd be a lot different if I got to know you, if I had coffee with you, if I spent time with you, right? So John is one of those that the Bible says he leaned his head against Jesus' chest. He had that kind of intimacy with him. So I think the words that he has to say are really important. I'm going to start in verse 1 and then we'll pick up verse 3 up on the screen. So in this moment of scripture, Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples. He's giving them a glimpse on what's about to happen. He knows that he's going to the cross. He knows that he's going to be resurrected. But he knows the disciples are going to be very confused in this process. Even though he's been telling them, he's been trying to prep them, hey, I'm going to leave. They don't quite get it yet. That's okay, because he's so patient and gentle with them. So they had the Last Supper. He's giving them a glimpse on what's going to happen in the process of their heart from John 13 all the way up to John 17. And here, Jesus is actually praying for his disciples, and he's praying for all of us, future disciples, future followers of Jesus. He's crying out to the Father on behalf of us, the last things some of them he said before he was crucified. So John 17:1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus says, this is eternal life. Not that you come get a golden ticket to free queso. Not that you come punch your golden ticket to heaven in 50 years. But this is eternal life, that you know God. And God gives us that invitation every single day. In Proverbs, it says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search him out. I think God wants to be found. I don't think he's someone that'll just hit you in the face and say, here, you must know me. But I think he enjoys the process of relationship and seeking out that intimacy with us. And if that's eternal life, then the bobbing up and down gospel doesn't make much sense, does it? That we have to wait until we die to meet God. But instead, he said, eternal life is knowing me, having access to me, realizing how you were created, who you were designed to be right now, and participating in that with Jesus. One of my friends shared this quote with me a few weeks ago. He said, the glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. When we come to recognize the fullness of how God has designed us to live and to think, we act differently. Like Brandon was sharing earlier, we're not as concerned with our needs because we know the one who meets every need that we have. We're not as concerned for tomorrow because we're satisfied in today. If someone gives us a declaration about a medical concern, we believe that there's hope for healing. If we see people that are struggling with depression or anxiety or suicidal thoughts, we know the one who has the only hope in life available to them. But it doesn't do us much good if we keep that to ourselves, if we've never even experienced that ourselves. See, if we're going to go out and we're going to make Jesus known, we can't really do that unless we allow him to come in first. In order to go out, we have to let him come in, because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that leads us into all truth, that reveals Jesus, and he wants to live and dwell and abide in each of us. He wants to glorify Jesus. He wants to show him. And he's the one that works through us, that heals us internally, but also gives us that strength, that same strength and empowerment to go out. Some characteristics of the kingdom are love, faith, healing. The greatest are servants. There's joy, there's righteousness, there's peace. That sounds like a pretty good place to live, does it not? I think so. So I think that's why we're designed to take part in this kingdom with God, to not just be satisfied experiencing that ourselves, but to be walking, led by the Holy Spirit, to bring pockets of the kingdom here on earth. That's what Jesus did. He came, and everywhere he went, so was the kingdom of God. And so it should be as we go from this place, everywhere we go, so is the kingdom. Did you know that you have the power to change the atmosphere when you go on the subway? When you go to your workplace? When you set up these chairs? If you walk in and it's heavy or dark or depressing, you can bring the light that you carry, if you're carrying the light. You can pray, you can speak, there's power in your voice. But just like that golden ticket, if you don't activate it, it's not going to do you any good. I can't sit at home and just expect queso to appear on my dinner table. But I have to go understanding that I have this full access each and every day to invade the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of life, knowing that it's already coming inside of me and wanting to come through me because Jesus lives in me. So we can say no to fear of man, we can say no to passivity, because when God speaks, things happen. When God directs us, things happen. When we are led by him, things happen, whether we see it or we don't. Sometimes that's hard, it can be discouraging if we're moving and we're moving and we're trying and we're striving and we don't see anything. But thankfully, God has called us to abide in him. And when we abide in him, there's always fruit, and fruit that remains. Might not be me that sees it, but maybe it's Jacob, maybe it's my kids in the future, maybe it's Brandon, maybe it's someone in Ethiopia, I don't know. But it's my job to be obedient. It's not my job to bear the fruit. Amen. It's my job to abide in the vine. That means rest in Jesus, to be near to him, to be close to him, close enough like John where I can lean on his chest and hear him whisper his heart to me. God wants to give you his heart for people, the person next to you even. It's really easy to think about missions and to think about the Great Commission as, oh, someone over there will do it. Oh, maybe if I'm more qualified, I can do it. Maybe if I go to Africa, I can do it. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than something far off. But Jesus' first message in Mark 1 was repent because the kingdom of God has come near. Not in 50 years, but it's come near right now. And the more that we have that awareness, the more we're going to be effective in realizing that. The more we can allow the Lord to change our thought process to discover what he's wanting to do right now. As we learn to hear his voice, as we learn his heart, as we study the scripture and see the things that the kingdom is all about, we can be more aware to see and recognize when it is there and when it's not. And when it's not, we're responsible to do something with that. You are entrusted with the words that you know, with what he's revealed to you. So there should be a response. Sometimes I don't want to respond, to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm a little tired, or I have other plans, or I just rush through my day because I have different things to do, and I can ignore the invitation that's right in front of me. I think we all do it. We get so caught up in the busyness of life. Maybe our heart's there to serve the poor or to help someone in need or know that that person in the drive-thru line, I don't know if you guys have drive-thrus here actually. In America, they're everywhere, fast food places. That's oftentimes where I see the kingdom of God coming near. I'm thankful that I get to travel to other nations and to do what we're doing here. But it's every day in my little old town of Lindale, Texas, that I see the kingdom coming most frequently, because that's where I am most frequently. If I'm going through this drive-through line and I see a lady that is obviously having a rough day, what can I do to encourage her? Simple things like that, guys, are enough to change someone's day and to reveal Jesus to them. There's actually power in living in a place like this. You guys have your routines, I'm guessing. Maybe places you like to get coffee or food or take a stroll around the park. You probably run into some of the same people every day. All right? But how often are you engaging with them? How often are you realizing that Jesus wants to meet with them? Wants to meet with them through you, through your eyes, through your actions, through your words? He wants to encounter them. But we need to lift our heads to realize that the kingdom of God isn't far away. The kingdom of God is here, and it's near, and it's tangible, and it's accessible. But we got to take a step and actually realize that, to walk in the authority that he's given us, and to know that we're kingdom bearers right now. All of the places where the kingdom isn't fully realized, which is a lot, there's your opportunity. There's your mission field. There's your chance to go and to be a missionary, not just in the nations, but here in Stockholm. If you can, flip over to Matthew 28. That's kind of our marching orders. We sang about it earlier, that missionary anthem. So here, in this point of scripture, Jesus has already died, he's already risen, he's began to reveal himself again to the disciples, showing them the holes in his hands, that he's alive, that he conquered the grave, but he has one more assignment for them before he goes back to the Father. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age.'" Amongst that group of people that Jesus is sending out, it says, some doubted. The disciples that have been with him for 3 years, some maybe less than that, they've seen him heal, they've seen him multiply food, they've seen him cast out demons, they've seen him do all these crazy things, but yet somehow this man that conquered the grave, they're still questioning, they're still doubting, they're still not quite there, but yet Jesus is saying, "I choose you, I want to empower you, I'm trusting you with this mission. You will do greater things than me because there's a whole church of you. There's a whole group. There's a whole community of people that love me and that are able to carry out this mission." They do it by listening to his voice. They receive the call. They realize his heart for the nations. His heart isn't just for here in Stockholm. It's for the nations. All nations will come and worship Jesus someday. That should be our heart's cry too. And then lastly, the last verse, "I'm with you always to the end of the age." They carry a hope for eternity. It's still there. It's still something that they realize is the reality. They're going to die at some day. But it's not a depressing thing anymore. It's a hope that we have. Because God is coming and Jesus is going to make all things new. He's bringing heaven to earth. He's restoring, he's healing, he's reconciling, and that's the hope that we carry, not just for when we die, but for right now. When we enter into relationship with Jesus, we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, to empower us, to lead us, and then we believe that as sons and daughters, we can take the authority that we have to build the kingdom of God, not just later, but right now. And so as I was preparing today, I really wanted that message, created for more, to ring in your hearts as you go from here. You weren't just created to survive, you weren't created to bobble up and down over the line, but you were created to participate with God in the Great Commission. Remember, the glory of God is man fully alive, and we're fully alive when we're operating out of our identity, belonging to Jesus, and then actually inviting others to that same place. You see, those moments when I don't feel like encouraging that person in the drive-thru, every time I do, I feel so much better afterwards. Not because I know that I did something good, but because I'm sharing in God's heart for the person right in front of me. I can't describe how that feels other than intense joy, but sometimes intense pain too, knowing the suffering that people go through and how Jesus feels when they do that. And so it's an invitation to activate the faith that we say that we believe. But it's also an invitation to suffer sometimes, an invitation to do things that you're not comfortable with, to do things that you don't think you're capable of doing. But it's an invitation to suffer with Christ and to be raised with Christ and to see the things that we read about in the Bible actually take place right here, right now. We pray for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what happens when God shows up and when he moves. And we've been seeing that happen all this week in Stockholm. We've been seeing it happen in Norway. We've been seeing it happen everywhere we go. And it's not because we're some special people, but it's because we're grabbing hold to the reality that Jesus is who he says he is, and he wants to come and move through us. I was blown away a couple of days ago hearing the statistic that Sweden is number two the most secularized nation in the world. All the more reason to activate your faith right now, to believe that God wants to bring heaven to earth in Sweden as it is in heaven, in Stockholm as it is in heaven, and he invites you to that place. So I want to share a couple things with you guys on what we've been seeing to stir your faith a little bit, to know that that same God that we follow in America, the same God that they follow in South Korea and in Nicaragua and everywhere else is showing up, and he's meeting people here in Stockholm. So, Wes, would you come and would you share something? Jacob, you can come too.
Yes, me and Wes have a couple testimonies to share about what happened the other day. So, one day, me and Wes were... We were working with the rallying base in the area, and they gave us some cards with an invitation to a worship night next Friday night, and another card with some QR codes about like some testimonies and how to become a Christian. So we were just handing those out to people in the area, and as me and Wes were going out, we were going out for about an hour or so. So we prayed to God and asked him if there was anyone that he wants us to talk to or encourage or just loving him, just that he can just show us. And pretty much all the time we didn't have a good conversation with anyone or anything until we had about one card left, and we were like, who are we supposed to give this to? You know, we weren't sure what to do. And then I felt like we were supposed to go across the street and give it to this guy, but to go across the street we had to go to a certain intersection, and as we walked over to the intersection there was this girl sitting about right in the area, and right when I saw her, God just pointed her out to me, and I just felt like we'd have to go talk to her. And it's just, and so we walked over there and we invited her to the worship night the next Friday night and gave her the QR code and explained to her a little bit what's on the QR code and that there's testimonies and all that. And as we were talking to her, I just felt like God was telling me that she's just broken and alone and is hungry for something, so I just felt like I'm supposed to tell her that God loves her. So when I told her, I asked her if she believes that God loves her, and when I asked her that, she just looked at me like, I can't really explain how it was, but, and then we just kind of, like, she was very open-hearted and listening and engaging in our conversation, so I ended up sharing my testimony with her and sharing the gospel with her, and then while I was sharing the gospel with her, she was just very listening and open-hearted to what we have to say, and like I could tell she like really wanted something, and I know that she was very touched by everything we told her. And yeah, it was just one thing that I learned that day is just listen to the Holy Spirit. Like, we asked God to show us someone, and he did, and it was just I was amazed how the Holy Spirit just gave me this feeling that we're supposed to go talk to her, and he was just like leading me in the conversation with her, just like what to say, and it was just, yeah, that was just amazing to me, and it was a great experience. And Wes also has another thing he would like to share.
Yeah, so during the week we're also partnering with Salvation Army in Philipsburg, and we were going out. We had a cart and we had a bunch of coffee and tea and sandwiches and stuff. We were just walking around the streets heading towards Tucson-Trollen, and we ran into this guy named Alex, and we offered him some coffee and a sandwich, and then we were able to strike up a conversation with him and just kind of talk to him about his life here and he was interested in what we were doing here, so we told him a little bit about YWAM and our school. And throughout the conversation, it got to the point where more and more we were talking about the reason we were here and who we were here for. So we started talking to him about God. Jacob and me and a couple others shared a few things with him and kind of gave him the gospel in a nutshell at that time. But just he was also very open and was wanting something, but he didn't know what it was, and he said as much. And he hadn't really had the gospel put forward to him by very many other people. He's moved to Sweden when he was 3, and all that time nobody ever really talked to him about who God was. So we had the opportunity to do that, and we were able to give him a Bible and give him some information for YWAM and the Salvation Army Center and just some different connections. So that was a really good conversation to have, and I also know he was very touched by it. He was starting to think about the things we were saying, and there was a deep interest in what we were telling him. But in either of these occasions, it wasn't we talked to somebody and then there was that immediate salvation. We were just there planting the seed and putting a little water on seeds that may have been sown at other points in their lives. But it's not us that's going to them to save them. It's Christ saving them through the things that we can speak to them on his behalf. So I fully believe that they were touched and that someone else is going to come into their lives, because God isn't finished with them and he's still coming after them. So yeah.
I think Elijah has one more testimony as well.
Hello. One night as we were doing some street ministry, it was me and another guy. His name is Gabriel, and we struck up a conversation with this random guy, and Gabriel kind of led the conversation with, "Do you happen to have any pain, physical pain?" And the guy actually said, "Yeah, I've got like a little thing in my back." And he asked, and Gabriel asked if we could pray for him, and the guy agreed. And he points to me and says, "Okay, he's gonna pray for you." And I didn't catch what was said after that, because after he said that, I thought internally, "I am." And he turned around and pointed out the spot in his back, and I put my hand on him, and then Gabriel whispered to me, like, "Remember, it's not you doing the healing, it's Jesus," and I definitely needed to hear that. So I said a brief prayer. I'm just like, "Lord, I know you can do this. Please do this, Lord." And when I finished, something in me was like, probably didn't work. And then I'm like, "No, in Jesus' name, I believe that this worked." And Gabriel asked how he was feeling. He's like, "Actually, it feels a lot better." So God heals.
We are just ordinary people with an extraordinary God. We've been transformed by his presence. We've been transformed by the gospel. We've been transformed by the power of Jesus healing and working in our lives, and therefore we have something to offer. Each of these individuals that we've met on the streets this week have been so captivated by the beauty of the gospel. And it's not because we have all of the fancy words to tell them to try to sell them something, but it's because Jesus is enough on his own. He's that beautiful, he's that captivating, he's so after the hearts of the people here in Stockholm, that the minute you open your mouth to share, maybe some will reject you, but maybe some will hear the news for the first time that will change their lives forever. This guy, Alex, that we were talking to, just kept looking at us so dumbfounded, like he'd never heard the truth about who Jesus actually is. And that's powerful. Jesus showed up. He healed someone's back. In Norway, he was healing legs and other ligaments and body parts as well. And he's doing that all over the world, and he wants to do it through you. Even Elijah said, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I'm going to trust God anyway, and I'm going to believe that he's a healer, and he healed. Those disciples that doubted Jesus were still commissioned. And I don't know what you think about all of this right now, but Jesus is wanting to commission you right now. He's wanting to send you to the nations, but also to this nation, to Sweden, to Stockholm, to all of the neighborhoods where you live, to the places where you work. There's no sphere of society that should be exempt from hearing the gospel. And thankfully, we're so different. God created the body so that we can reach out into all of these different areas. So not everyone has to be a pastor. Not everyone has to be in full-time missions. But everyone is called and commanded to be a missionary, to take part in the Great Commission, and to see his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus, I thank you for your words. God, I thank you that you've chosen us. We're so unworthy of it, God, but I thank you that you're so committed to each one of us, to rescuing us, to redeeming us, to giving us life and hope and freedom. God, you didn't just create us to enjoy eternity someday, but you created us to enjoy the abundant life that you offer right now, and that only comes through knowing you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are the way, you're the truth, you're the life. God, you've made yourself available. You've given us full access to you, to the Father, to Holy Spirit. God, and as we dwell with you, as we learn your heart, we get to know that the nations are your passion. God, people are your passion, and you long to know them. You long to know us. God, and I ask that you would take us deeper individually this morning in our own relationship with you. God, that we would learn what it means to abide, what it means to continue to fully surrender our hearts and our lives to you, because there's joy in that. There's joy in coming to know you deeper and deeper every day. And as a result, we would just be compelled to share the gospel. We would be compelled to love our neighbor. We'd be compelled to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, because that's your heart. That's your design. That when we ask things in your name from your heart, God, you show up, you move, you heal, you provide. We've seen it, God, and we want to see it even more. And so, yeah, I just commission everyone in this room in Jesus' name. God, would you activate them in their calling? Would you activate them in the life that they're living right now to know the things that are on your heart for their own areas of society? Thank you, God, that it's through you that we live. See that we move and have our being, God, and that you want to bring your kingdom here in Stockholm as it is in heaven. So would you do these things, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. If you're here this morning and you heard what Carly had to say and you say, you know what, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know Jesus, come talk to one of us this morning so we can share with you a little bit more about what it is to know Jesus and how you begin that relationship. And for the rest of you, I just want to challenge you with Carly's message. How are you going to activate yourself in the Great Commission this week? Because that's what she shared out of Matthew 28, the Great Commission, to go into all the nations. So how are you going to do that this week? As she said, you don't have to wait to go to another country, but we have so many countries here in Stockholm. We have the nations here. Our church has 20 different nations in it alone. So how are you going to live out the Great Commission this week? So think about that this morning and take that with you today. Hey, thank you again for being here with us this morning. We're so glad that you chose to spend these last hour and a half, 2 hours now with us. If you have kids and kids, Stockholm kids, we encourage you to get them as we make our way to our fika time. But as we say here at Stockholm Community Church, we know that you're going to have a fantastic week this coming week. Why? Because Sunday's here. Make Mondays better. Have a great week, everyone.